The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia for this Monday, February 6th in Hong Kong, Sunday, February 5th in New York. And coming up today,
a strong U.S. jobs report sparks concern the Fed may have to keep rates higher for longer.
Indian officials try to calm markets over the turmoil surrounding the Adani Group.
And the Japanese government has reportedly approached a potential successor for BOJ governor.
China threatens retaliation for the shooting down of its balloon. Criticism and defense of the timing of the shootdown in the U.S. Ukraine says it can end the war with more fighter jets. I'm Ed Baxter with Global News.
Harry Kane makes history as Tottenham knocks off Manchester City. I'm Dan Schwartzman. I'll have that story and more coming up in Bloomberg Sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Doug Krisner.
And I'm Brian Curtis. Here are the stories we're following today. Well, let's take a closer look here at the top stories. The U.S. labor market burned red hot in January. A Labor Department report showed hiring unexpectedly surged while unemployment fell to a 53-year low. We got reaction from U.S. Labor Secretary Martin Walsh.
You know, it was a great report. I mean, when you look at areas of that I think are really important, business grew, healthcare grew, education grew, and we saw strong, steady growth in construction. I mean, certainly, I'll take this jobs report for any day of the week.
The strong labor market report now makes Fed Chair Jay Powell's job trickier. Last week, Powell didn't push back too strongly against markets pricing in just one more rate hike and cuts by the end of the year. This gave traders greater hope of a near-term pause by the Fed in its rate hiking cycle. However, the jobs numbers will now likely strengthen the Fed's determination to hike rates up above 5% and then keep them high throughout the year. That's an outcome that investors are particularly skeptical of.
Well, we also heard from the former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, who was saying a soft landing for the American economy is looking more likely than it did a few months ago. Even so, he told CNN those high prices are still a concern.
We had a set of inflation indicators during 2022 that were very strong that have now come back to earth, but they're still too high. They're still unimaginably high from the perspective of 2 or 3 years ago, and that getting the rest of the way back to target inflation may still prove to be quite difficult. So I'd say I'm encouraged, but it would be a big mistake to think that we were out of the woods.
In an earlier interview with Bloomberg, Summers said the key question is whether workers' income will be spent and then in turn lift the economy, or whether companies will eventually conclude they simply have too many workers. Brian?
U.S. tech megacaps delivered rather disappointing results last week, with Apple, Alphabet, and Amazon all providing weaker guidance. What does that mean for companies reporting this week? Bloomberg's Susanna Palmer has more.
Softer consumer demand and ad spending flagged by big tech companies may signal tepid results for game developers and Walt Disney reporting this week. Investors remain hopeful that companies could emerge as winners with effective cost-cutting measures and pricing adjustments. Watch for Take-Two, Activision Blizzard, and Walt Disney. Among others to look for, PayPal and Chipotle reporting this week. Susanna Palmer, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Indian officials stepped in over the weekend to calm nerves over the turmoil surrounding Adani Group. We have that story from Bloomberg's Annabelle Droolers.
The saga is now in its third week after accusations of stock manipulation and accounting fraud. In that time, Adani's companies have lost nearly half of their market value. On Saturday, India's finance minister said regulators will do their job in dealing with the allegations against the Adani Group. There's fear of contagion and India being viewed negatively by global investors. Members of India's parliament want answers. The main opposition party increased pressure on Prime Minister Modi over his silence. Adani's interests have often intertwined with India's growth plans. And now a nationwide protest is planned for Monday to highlight the risk to small investors. Concerns over the group's debt obligations increased last week when Adani Enterprises withdrew a $2.5 billion follow-on share sale. And over the weekend, we learned the company also shelved a plan to raise as much as $122 million via its first ever public sale of bonds. In Hong Kong, I'm Annabelle Droolers, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Japan is said to have approached the current Bank of Japan deputy governor, Masayoshi Amamiya, about succeeding Haruhiko Kuroda as governor. More from Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann.
The government is said to be in the final stages of completing the nomination plan, the Nikkei reports. Officials from the government and ruling coalition have held discussions with Amamiya. The yen weakened on the assumption that if the deputy governor is selected, the current policy will likely remain. Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has said the nomination will come in February. Kuroda is scheduled to step down on April 8th after the longest stint running the central bank in its 140-year-old history. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg. Daybreak Asia.
And I'm Ryan Curtis, along with Doug Krisner, and we will have Mark Chandler coming up in a few moments, Chief Market Strategist at Managing Partner at Bennickburn Global. So, Doug, if Jay Powell was somewhat uncomfortable with the market reaction last week, you'd think that the strong jobs report and the downing of the Chinese balloon have sort of come to his aid. I'm half joking, but we're seemingly back in, as I mentioned before, in something of a risk-off environment here.
Yeah, we're going to hear from the Fed chairman on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Wall Street time. He will be interviewed by the Economic Club in Washington, D.C. That was pretty dramatic movement in the bond market Friday with yields spiking right across the curve. And we're also looking at a much stronger dollar. So you would think, Brian, to your point, that this combined with the equity market weakness serves to even maintain those tight financial conditions, which to your point is exactly what the Fed wants to see under these circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. A stronger dollar doing so as well. Bad for risk assets most likely today, particularly in emerging markets, as will the China-U.S. story. Now, I think China will probably tone down its rhetoric on this because it just isn't credible to many people that this balloon was blown off course. And if it had been, then you would have thought they would have immediately notified Canada and the U.S. and said, this is what happened, but they didn't. So it causes a lot of concern.
Even before the balloon was actually shot out of the sky, the Biden administration postponed Secretary of State Blinken's trip to Beijing. So already we knew that even before the firing that tensions were at a higher level.
Yeah, so it could be a very interesting day. Good to stay listening here to Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. It's time now for Global News. Well, China's reaction to that shooting down of its alleged spy balloon has shifted to the possibility of retaliation, threatened retaliation. Ed Baxter has that story in the 960 newsroom in San Francisco, Ed.
Yeah, exactly right, Brian. Beijing first expressed regret, saying it was a weather balloon that flew off course. Now what it's saying is the U.S. clearly overreacted in using force. It says that it will resolutely safeguard the legitimate rights and interests of the company concerned and reserves the right to make further responses if necessary. Now, in the U.S., some reaction. Former U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair Admiral Mike Mullen says this was a planned action.
This was not an accident. This was deliberate. It was intelligence.
And Mullen on ABC is heard here on Bloomberg says even knowing that, the president and military did the right thing and says the shame is that there's no way Secretary Blinken could have gone to Beijing at this point.
I think strategically, this really damages a relationship between us and China, further damages, which was deteriorating. And I think that's really the big part of this.
So Senator Marco Rubio, though, is questioning the delay in shooting down the balloon on ABC, as heard here on Bloomberg. He says what China was trying to do was monitor U.S. response.
This is what they wanted the world to see, that they could send a balloon at 60,000 feet over U.S. airspace, over military facilities, and that we would be unable to stop it. And then ultimately, when we shoot it down, if we did, they would argue, look how they overreact to a weather balloon, which is obviously not what it is.
Yeah, and he says by letting it go all the way across the U.S., they got the questions to that answered. Meanwhile, the downing is marking the first time that the F-22 Raptor fighter jet brought down an air target since it debuted in combat in Syria and Iraq almost a decade ago. Ukraine's defense minister Oleksiy Reznov says that he's happy to be getting precision-guided rockets as part of the latest aid package from the United States, but he tells ABC that he hopes that there is no more delaying.
We need to hit Russian objects in temporarily occupied territories of Ukraine with their fuel depot, ammunition depot, and their commander's headquarters.
And he repeats that Ukraine can defeat Russia if it gets more aircraft platforms. He says Ukraine needs to carry out missions near the border. The hackers behind the recent ransomware attack on Ion Trading UK claim the extortion payment has in fact been paid. Iran has not commented, Ion has not commented, but there's no denying that the action upended derivatives trading around the world, and cybersecurity experts say the payment is not a magic bullet that automatically restores computer systems. They say the recovery can drag on for months, as many files will have to be decrypted one by one. Global News, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, and this is Bloomberg.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. I'm Brian Curtis, along with Rashad Salamat, and it is Monday morning for us. So let's say good morning to Mark Chandler, Chief Market Strategist and Managing Partner at Bannockburn Global. Mark, I know the story about the jobs report, the strong jobs report, means the possibility of the Fed higher for longer. But actually, if you think about it, it's maybe not such a bad story for risk assets, in the sense that the Fed is getting close to the end of its cycle. And here you have a strong jobs report without wages going up as much as some feared. And maybe that seems to suggest more chances for a soft landing. Your thoughts on that before we talk about the stronger dollar?
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are like mulling over, is the implications. And I think it's not just the jobs data, which, you know, has a lot of distortions to it, especially this January reading, but even that service ISM report, a huge jump in new orders. And so I do think that, I mean, I think that since the beginning of the year, really, I think the pendulum has swung in favor of a soft landing, not just in the U.S., but in Europe as well. And I think that the data pushes people more along that path. But I think that still is concern coming a lot from monetary variables like the yield curve, contraction in money supply. These kinds of things, I think, are still flashing concern for people. So even now, after the jobs data, after the ISM data, the market is still pricing in a rate cut later this year.
Mark, the thing is, you know, with the interest rate cycle, the monetary tightening that has taken place, the economy is getting stronger. I mean, it's just, are these monetary policy tools actually working at the moment? And, you know, they seem to be doing quite the reverse. What do you think the thinking is in the Fed now, looking at all the latest data?
Well, I don't think the Fed's view has really changed. I think what they told us in December was that they aimed to lift the Fed funds target rate above 5%. the market has said, we don't think you will. The market has been, looking at the Fed funds futures, has been a little bit below 5%, and now it's a little bit above 5%. But I'm not so sure about the strength of the underlying economy. Remember what happened in November and December. Retail sales in the U.S. fell by more than 1% each month. And manufacturing output fell by more than 1% each month. So I wonder if we're just seeing a bounce back from a very weak finish to 2022. And you know, I think that there's still, despite the labor market, I think that's what's so unique about this. And again, it's not just in the United States. Europe has a fairly strong labor market. So does Japan. And I'm just not sure that that really means the kind of strength that we think it might, because that the income you get from wages is supposed to be used for consumption, as that clip from Lawrence Summers. But the problem is that those dollars, there's been a cost of living squeeze because wages have not been keeping up with inflation. And so those wages aren't going to really necessarily stimulate that large part of the economy that's driven by consumption.
Well, and for investors that might take this in a bullish way, I mean, if you're buying risk assets now, you're not really so much betting on inflation coming down, although it is coming down. You're betting on the lag effects of the Fed's rate hikes, that they'll be softer than perhaps what might have been expected. And with a strong jobs report like this, can we assume that the lag effect may be a little less?
Yeah, I mean, I still would be hesitant about jumping into risk assets. I think that if anything, we've got this pendulum is swinging back. We began the year off, what a honeymoon. And I think that to jump aboard now, a month into the new year, after at these extended levels, I think we need to see a pullback. And I feel more comfortable seeing this, to the magnitude of this pullback, maybe driven by higher interest rates. We were at the low end of sort of where we've been trading, and now we're at the sort of middle to upper end. And I think we see a setback in the in those risk assets, and I think this is what's going to help underpin the dollar.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. Does this perhaps represent an inflection point for the current dollar weakness that we've been seeing?
Yeah, that's my view. I mean, I think that when the ECB met and the euro couldn't make a new high after some hawkish comments, I said it seemed to me I was wrong about how the market was going to react, but it seemed to be an important way of being wrong in the sense that there does seem to be a change in sentiment. And I think that just encouraged by that jobs data. So I think that really for the first time since maybe late September, early October, when the dollar topped out, that we get a bounce in the greenback. But my concern really then is that it's got a short life. About a week or so, because I think as we get ready for that January CPI on February 14th, people get nervous again, because I think that we should be expecting, and it's not like being a rocket scientist here, but I think we should be expecting a big drop in inflation in the coming months in the U.S. And here's why, really, simply, that the Q1 and Q2 last year, both quarters, CPI rose at an annualized rate of more than 10%. That is not being sustained. And those numbers, those high monthly numbers, will drop off of the year-over-year comparison. And so we should be looking at a real drop in inflation in the coming months.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, your morning brief on the stories making news from Hong Kong to Singapore and Wall Street.
Look for us on your podcast feed every day on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each day on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Brian Curtis.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Join us again tomorrow for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.